reading, you go through chapter after chapter after chapter, and then there'd be a blank sheet that would say part two, part three, part four, whatever it was, and it would start your chapter. And that's kind of what is happening today. We're passing the torch, and there's a new chapter for Jesus, who is Lord. So that was thinking of just making a few comments before we go through the, you have in your bulletin kind of a little sequence of the events here. But really, today is a praise report. I'll tell you a number of praises. I mean, we've often prayed that God hears all prayers and he answers all prayers in his perfect timing. For us, a little slow sometimes, for God, perfect. So I thought I'd go back and just, God has been so faithful in hearing our prayers. I mean, this journey started, Pastor Ward's last sermon was in early December the 10th of 2023. And we didn't know, but he then had a stroke. And I wasn't sure just exactly when that happened, but it was his last sermon was in December of 23. And so, Bruce and I, we have a communion ministry for people that can't attend, and we've been tending to Marvin and Diane, who also had, Marvin had a stroke, and sort of pretty close when Pastor Ward was, and we also do Pastor Ward. So we've been keeping tabs on him every month doing communion, and he's made a remarkable recovery with the Lord. And so, a lot has happened in over 2.5 years. But the praise report is he's recovered well enough that he's actually teaching a Bible study here at church on Thursdays. I mean, praise the Lord. Pastor Ward has the energy and strength. He never lost the desire to preach God's word. But I think that's just an amazing praise report for Pastor Ward, who I'm not sure of the length, because almost 25 years was Pastor Jackie, something like that. So he was here a long time. We love Pastor Ward, and so now he's teaching a Bible study, so good recovery. Well, after he had a stroke, now what are we going to do? Well, Dave has a little black book. And you want to sometime ask him to show you the little black book. And he was making phone calls to find a pastor to come every Sunday. And so we had a revolving pastor here for quite a while.
Yeah.
Probably a number of months. And praise the Lord for all those people that were willing to come and preach to us. We're a small group, but powerful in the name of the Lord. And so we had many different faces, and that's a praise report, but people kept coming to service Jesus as Lord Church. So then the Lord, I don't know whether he was farming one day, or but you found Pastor Jim and Charlene, and they came. And that's probably been, we couldn't quite remember how long, but at least 2 years. And Jim and Charlene have serviced Jesus as Lord, brought his word, brought their encouragement, and as we all wanted to continue growing. It'd be easy for a church like this, probably, I'll say with Pastor Jim, he's got a prison ministry, he's farming, he snowplows, he's a busy dude. All year round, but he serviced us by bringing God's word all that time. And so we appreciate the new Pastor Jim. We'll say a few more words downstairs. So that's another praise report. And so then you get to the people of the church, us. And what are we going to do? We're not a denomination. We're a non-denomination, just because Jesus is Lord. I thought that was a great name for a church. churches and continue on somewhere else, and not this church, not we the people. She said, no, we don't have a denomination where we can put a call out and say, hey, who in our denomination could come and serve us at Bay Shore, a small church. I tell everybody, I grew up in a church that's about 85% looks like this church. So that's bringing back history. So what could we do to pray? And so I know some of us would say, gee, it seems to be taking a long time for our prayers. And what are you guys up to, meaning the elders and the leadership team? But God was working. So the people, I know Pastor Jim said, you need to get prepared, you need to stand and be ready. And so we the people were standing, praying, and just saying, okay, Lord, and His timing is always perfect. Amen. So praise to the people. And then, you know, God, if you're a farmer, you sow some seeds and then you get a huge crop. You know, the rains come at the right time, and the sun shines, and those few seeds turn into a harvest. And so isn't that the Lord? He always outdoes what you pray for. And in this case, He did. He didn't send a pastor for us. He sent two. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So Jonathan Price and Nathan Pollock, we are blessed that you ended up coming here. And I know we've all heard them preaching, and so we're looking forward to the word being taught. This congregation wants to grow. We are not stagnant. We want to grow in the word, and then as the word says, don't just hear the word. You know, that man that looked in the mirror and then walked away and forgot what he looked like. No. Hear the word and then go do it. And so that's what this church is about. So another praise report, a double harvest. And so we are excited today to officially install Jonathan and Nathan as our teaching pastors. And so we'll have more in this and more downstairs later. But with that, Chris is going to scripture.
Well, Pastor Jim charged me with reading a specific verse, and it is Jeremiah 3:15. But I'm going to go back one verse because the Lord somehow miraculously put it in some context that's applicable to us. He said, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. I will choose one of you from every town and two from every clan and bring you to Zion. And this is the verse. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. And that's what he did.
I would stand down there and do it like they did, but I don't have a place for my notes. So, anyway. You know, it's hard sometimes for us to really realize the blessings that God provides. A lot of times we wonder, well, can God do it? And we think sometime of other prayers or other needs and other things that people had, and maybe it didn't really happen. But when you learn to stand strong and true to the Lord, He's able to move. And He's able to do great and mighty things. And so are we. And this little church has done great and mighty things. I can remember when I first started coming here, when they would call me and ask me to come, and I don't know how many times that was. It was quite a few. And especially after they asked me to go ahead and stay and do every Sunday, I would come and I would sit right there at that pew, and as a service was going on, I would just so feel the presence of the Lord that they had a thing of, well, they do now. They would have their napkins or their Kleenex tissues there, and I would have to grab one. I didn't want to look like a crybaby. But the Lord was just so gracious. I don't think I've ever preached to a group of people who were so hungry and willing to hear God's word and then to do it. And so I was just so blessed. It's like, God, thank you. I didn't think I would ever be able to experience that, but I did here. And what was said a lot is, we need a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I have a different calling. I love to preach. I love to teach. I can pastor, but it's not my heart. Just not my heart. I was a farmer. And the thing is, as a farmer and you're raising cattle, if you get one old cow that doesn't behave and always gets out and causes a lot of problems, usually they end up hamburger on the table. So you don't want a pastor like that. But anyway, so we had to pray. We had to pray for some pastor, a pastor, and the Lord blessed us twice. So I appreciate all that the Lord is doing in that and with you. So I do want to give a little bit of a charge and maybe even some of my concerns about being a pastor and ministering to people, maybe a special group to look at, because a lot of times they don't ask questions, they don't come around much, they sit way in the back of the church sometimes, and they avoid the pastor. And they don't come all the time. Once in a while they drop in, and then you don't see them for a while. But see, those are the ones that I really get concerned about. I really get concerned about that, because the Word of God is so strong and so powerful. And it's kind of like, why aren't they able to hear? Why aren't they able to receive it? And so with my conversion experience and how it went, I know why that is. And so I just want to share a little bit about that. But first of all, I'd like to just talk to our new pastors. You're being commissioned as pastors to this church, which involves a unique blend of responsibilities for you. And I know I'm not saying anything you don't already know, okay? So don't think I'm trying to talk down to you at all. But the responsibilities, the commitments, and the objectives as a pastor, your calling really is to lead, to nurture, to guide the congregation in their spiritual journey. And I just wrote a few things down of what the pastor does. So I share this so the church kind of understands where they're at and what they're trying to do for you. And sometimes as a church member, we don't all understand all that goes into what the pastor does. So what he does is he, first of all, proclaims the word of God. And I would encourage the church to, thank you, you can answer them. Encourage you to continue to hear the word of God as they share, as they teach and preach the word to you. And you'll grow by it. So it's important. They proclaim the word of God. They shepherd the congregation. Sometimes that can be hard and tedious, but yet as you see God changing the situation, growing the people and their lifestyle and whatever the ailments or the problems are in the family start to change. Because I want to tell you, the word will change you. Amen? It changes you. So they shepherd the congregation. They are to equip and empower the church members. They're in to encourage prayer and spiritual growth, lead and cast vision. They're to model Christ in their leadership. They're to encourage accountability and discipleship. But one thing that we always need to remember is pastors. We try so hard. These pastors try so hard. And sometimes it seems like nothing's happening. And pray for your pastors, because they do get discouraged. And the enemy works twice as hard on them as maybe they do on you. But sometimes they don't see the progress, and they kind of wonder, Lord, is it me? Is there so many times I would ask God, I said, God, am I the problem? Is there something wrong with me? Is there something I need to change or do? Lord, please show me and deal with me. And he did many times, and I'm so thankful for that. But the pastors need to remember that you can do your best, but really it's God who grows the church. In fact, the scriptures that I use and seen on that, that the Lord really impressed upon me before, is Psalms 127. Verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, or the church, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And you can experience and see that in a lot of, maybe in your own life and in our family. I try to stand guard. I try to watch over when things are going wrong with maybe one of the kids that they've made some bad decisions. We try to be there. Of course, I don't like to preach to them, because that's the first thing they'll say is, Dad, don't preach to me. So I've got to watch how I do that. But see, I can stand and watch, and still sometimes bad things will happen. It's like you. You did the best you could with raising kids and doing the things that you do and all of that in your families. Maybe even trying to guard your marriage, and yet it didn't work out. You see, unless the Lord builds the house, we really labor in vain. And then you can try to work as hard as you can to keep your house in order. But it says, God's got to do that too. Yes, you need to do your part. But yet, see, you got to have God working in your life. You got to be trusting God and knowing his word and surrendering to him, so that he can look after your life, that he can speak into your life and say, hey, maybe you ought not do that. That's not a good thing. And we just say, yes, Lord. We do what he says, and he takes care of the rest. And the things that were growing wrong and maybe wrong now and hurtful start to change. But see, it's all the Lord. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that's an important part for pastors especially to realize. It takes God. I don't care how good a preacher you are. It takes God. It takes the Holy Spirit to move through your life and into the hearts and lives of the congregation. It's all God. It's learning for us to trust. What's a song we sing a lot? Trust and obey. That's what it's all about. trusting, and obeying. So it's a pastor's part, a preacher, let me say preacher, since I'm not a pastor. It's a preacher's part, really, I think, to be earnest in preaching the salvation message. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and starts with verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord," and Jesus read this when he started his ministry. They gave him the scrolls to read, and it says he found the place. And he read it to him, and he said, and this is the promises that God gives to all of us. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." Folks, we need to be anointed. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Thank God for the poor. He didn't say, "I come for the rich." But the pagans, I'm not interested in. He said, "I come for the poor. I come for the pagan. I come for the down and outer. The one that's hurting and everybody else is thrown away." Folks, God won't throw you away. Doesn't matter how big a mess you made of your life. Doesn't matter. He loves you. And he'll bring you out of it. But see, you've got to give him your heart. You got to let the Holy Spirit minister to you and show you. And the hardest sometimes for a lot of people, including me, is maybe to listen to people. You know, I've gotten revelation from people who didn't even know the word, and when they quoted it to me, they did it wrong. But yet God spoke to me through that. And so what's the Lord say? Don't call anything common. You know, we need to learn to realize that God speaks to us in many different ways. We just got to learn how to listen. And then be obedient to it. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Folks, I love that. Thank God for healing broken hearts. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. And that blindness is not just physical blindness, but it's also spiritual blindness. To set at liberty those who are oppressed and depressed. Anybody ever have a case of depression? Folks, I have. And it's not a good thing because you can't reason things. You just hurt. You give up. You quit. You're angry at yourself. You're angry at God. You're angry at everybody that tries to help you. It's like, just leave me alone. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then in verse 21, it says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." See, now this is what bothers me, is because people will come and hear the word, and yet it doesn't register with them. They could come and get saved. It's very easy. The word says believe. If you can believe, you know, believe the Lord and receive from him. But a lot of people can't even do that. I couldn't. I can remember that in the church I was raised, I believed in the virgin birth. I believed in the death, burial, resurrection. I believed it all, but yet I wasn't saved. And that's where a lot of people are. They come to church and they really don't have a heart change yet. And yet, to them, they're saved because they go to church and they know scripture. Yeah, and they believe. And yet, they're not saved. And a lot of them don't even know it. And in prison, I go up there all the time, three times last week. But Thursday, we had a group meeting where the East and the West Side met together. There was 70 or so of us, I guess. And we were sharing and talking, and then they broke up in groups and talked and about what was being shared and different things. But, you know, I noticed at the end, because they wanted the two of us, only two of us made it up there Thursday, and they said, well, we want the volunteers. They call us the volunteers. We want the volunteers to get up and share what's on their heart. And I'm thinking, I got nothing on my heart. You know what I mean? Do you ever been there? I got nothing. And so Steve and I go, he's my buddy. I said, Steve, you go. Y'all listen to Steve because he's got the word. I don't have anything. So he went up and shared, and I said, Lord, what would you want me to share? Because I have nothing. I don't know. And then the Lord put on my heart about those that were there who I had seen, who heard everything going on, but it all went over their head. There was one guy there shaved, his head was totally shaved, and there wasn't a spot on his face or his neck or any part of his body that you could see without clothes on it that gave you an inch to put another tattoo. I don't know. I should have had him open his mouth and stick out his tongue because it might have been tattooed as well, because I want to tell you, he was covered. But I could tell he was interested. And one time he wanted to say something in the group, in our group, and the other guy that was kind of leading it didn't recognize that and passed him by, didn't give him a chance to talk. And I'm like, you see, these are the people I look at. I watch out for, because I want to give them that opportunity. Because it might be the one thing that they could say that maybe in doing that, we could give him the answer that would change his life. So anyway, Steve got done and he sat down and they said, all right, Jim, get up there. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, that you at least gave me something. So I went up there and I was sharing and I started talking about the guys that didn't understand. I said, there's a lot of things that were shared here, and it's all right. But I said, there's several of you that didn't understand a word. You don't understand what we're talking about. You've never experienced it before. But I said, you need to hang in there. You need to keep coming. And let me tell you, if you search the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, I said, the Lord will meet you, and then you'll know. So I said, stick it out. There's a lot that God is wanting to teach you through this. So hang in there. One guy came up to me afterwards, and he says this. See, those guys are very honest up there. He came up to me, he says, hey, Pastor, he says, I like what you said up there. What that other guy, not Steve, but another inmate that was up there and shared, he said, I didn't agree with that, but the guy was right. But I'm not going to, you know, say anything to this guy. And he said to me, he said, do you know why I liked your message? I said, no. He says, because the guy you was talking about is me. I'm the one that comes to these all the time, and I don't understand it. I can't get it. And so I got to share just a little bit with him because he wasn't really ready to receive. Sometimes you're a little frustrated because you didn't hear it or you didn't get it or what's wrong with me or whatever. So I just want to encourage you pastors that there's going to be hard times. You're going to share your heart. And I watched Jonathan one time stand up here for prayer. And he's, he's just like, I love how he does it. He just stands there determined. I'm going to pray for somebody, you know. And people were going by him and everything, but no disappointment on his face. Because he knows he's doing the will of God. And he was there and available and willing. And see, that's what you got to have. You got to have the standability. It's like, I'm standing and never give up. That's why I say God would use you guys. Also want to say, you know a lot, but you don't know it all. You know what I mean? I get like that sometimes, and the Lord, he deals with me, let me tell you. See, I've learned in all my study that the more I learn, I realize that there's so much more I don't know. And sometimes I just go, God, why am I so stupid? But see, in the gospel, there's a lot of mysteries. There's a lot of things in there that God hasn't revealed that we can put together and use them in our lives. That's where we stumble and fall a little bit and why things don't happen exactly the way the word says. It's like the Lord is saying to you as well, are you going to trust me even that you don't understand it all? Aren't you going to trust me? Things are going maybe awry and you're blaming yourself and doubting yourself and me. And he's saying, just relax. I'm your God. I'm not going to leave you. I'll teach you. When the time's right, you will know. Have you ever read scriptures before and you've read it? You've been there five times already. You've read that, and then all of a sudden a revelated word comes out. It's like, I don't think I ever read that before. You ever do that? See, that's God. Folks, we got to learn to just trust God. So I trust God for you with the new pastors that he's allowing us to install. Pray for them that God would continue to minister and just do a mighty work in them and through them. Because it'll be to your benefit. It'll be to your benefit. So it's just exciting. I know big churches who can offer a lot, still don't have a pastor and be looking over 2 years. In fact, they gave up. They think they're just going to do without a pastor. And God, with this little church that everybody says, you might as well close the doors. You ain't going anywhere. And God says, oh, yeah? He gives you two pastors. He says, well, I'll show you. It's not all the might and the strength and the numbers and the facilities and all that you got. He said, you got to learn to trust me. And you all can see what God has done. So I just thank God. I praise him for who he is, what he does. And I just love him so much. There's so much that he's done in all of our lives. I'm going to miss you guys. We'll drop in and see you once in a while. And probably, who knows, in a few months, there may not be room for me to come. And I said, well, Jim, you'll have to sit down there. That would be okay with me. I would do that. So I can say to you, God bless you. We're going to continue on with this. In fact, I hope that the pastors got something that they would like to share later. We want to give each one of them an opportunity to share what God's placed on their heart. But can I give you a blessing for the last time that I'm here? I want to speak that blessing over you. May the Lord smile on you and be even more gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your people, for your blessings and all that you're doing right now. Father, we do glorify you in all of it. God, you're so good. You're so good. Thank you so much. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. I don't even know what's next. All right. We're going to lay hands on the new pastors. And so what we'll do is we'll have you guys come up. And if you would just stand in front of your chairs, these chairs up here in the front. And that way we can move the chairs up and you can sit down. Make it easy for you. So now we want the elders to stand around you and lay their hands on you.
Father, we now anoint your minister, the one that you have placed here to lead this congregation, the one that you're going to speak to, that you're going to minister through. Father, I ask that you would give them such wisdom and understanding. And with that, especially, Lord, your anointing. Lord, they will be able to see things that no one else sees. That they would have the upper hand to be able to ward off any bad thing that may be coming upon the body, any attacks of the enemy. That as they pray and lay hands on the sick, Lord, that they would recover. And also, Lord, that as they minister and preach to the church, that they would instill gifts and promises. And Lord, the things that seem to be not able to happen before in the people's lives, that now is like they would be released on them, that they can use in order to come to us. So Lord, we thank you that through their anointing that you would draw those, Lord, that